just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the program. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we get the broadcast started today, before we go to your calls, I want to reflect for just a few moments on Scripture. I was up late last night watching the election returns. I don't really have any commentary for anyone on that at this particular moment, but my mind does go back to Daniel chapter 2, where Daniel says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness." Or, as Isaiah put it in one of my favorite of all time passages, Isaiah chapter 40, "All flesh is like grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the scales. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing and makes the judges of the earth useless." The bottom line in those passages for me is simply to reinforce what all of us as believers know, and that is that God sits enthroned upon the circle of the earth, that God is the one who raises up and brings down. And it is our responsibility as those who are the bearers of truth to now do what we are called to do. Not look to Washington, D.C. for our hope and liberation, but look to Almighty God. For He, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can transform lives, and therein lies the secret. It is, if we will but be faithful, God can work through faithful people to transform cultures. And we can as yet become what we have been destined to be, and that is bearers of light and bringers of salt. Because if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, leave it at that. We'll go right to our callers. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up today, Cammie, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Cammie.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your broadcast. My question is, I am concerned. I believe that many, many Americans are deceived about President Barack Obama's true religion, because I have seen a lot of credible evidence confirming that he is a devout Muslim, and he in his heart he really practices Islam. And I'm concerned because I believe he is going to usher in Islamic practices, including persecution of Christians. So I wanted your thoughts and comments, please.
Well, in all due respect to your research, this is something that we have looked into, and we don't see any credible evidence for that whatsoever. I find that his background is more akin to having predilections towards things like Black Liberation Theology. But I don't think that the evidence bears out that he may have an appreciation for Islam. He may speak glowingly about Islam, but I don't think that he is a Muslim, and I don't think that the evidence points in that direction.
Is it true that his parents are devout Muslims?
Well, that's a different question. But the fact that his parents had predilections in a particular direction or were involved in a particular religious construct does not mean that he could not have come to his faith in Black Liberation Theology under Jeremiah Wright. And I think that to establish conspiracy theories or to attribute to someone something that is not true or has scant evidence for, I don't think does a whole lot of good for the credibility of our Christian confession. Here's what I can tell you. While biblical orthodoxy defines sin as being out of alignment with God's standard of perfection, Barack Obama has made clear that his definition of sin is altogether different. He has said as much, and I think here we can take him at his word. He defines sin as being out of alignment with his own values. That's what he has stated directly. And he has, in many ways, augmented that in his writings and his speeches. And I think a more consequential and frightening example of postmodern relativism is difficult to imagine. So I think what you have to do is take what he says, take what he writes, take the proper research, and then define him for what he clearly has communicated in terms of his worldview. And quite frankly, I think this is a very serious thing to comprehend. Because if sin is being out of alignment with President Obama's values, then Mr. Obama, rather than the Almighty, becomes the arbiter of what is right and what is wrong. Moreover, if sin is being out of alignment with one's own system of values, then the United States of America is hardly justified in passing judgment on terrorists. Why? Because they see great value in atrocities such as the Manhattan Massacre. And if sin is being out of alignment with one's own personal values, then truth is a mere matter of preference or opinion. I think these are real issues that we can deal with. These are real issues that we ought to be discussing, but I don't think it's fair to make up things which really don't have basis in reality. And I say that in all due respect to what you said. If you've done more research on this subject than I have, and you have evidence that I don't have, then I certainly would stand corrected, but we are a research organization and we do not see evidence to support what you've said.
Okay, well, I do appreciate that information. My family is deceived thinking that he believes in biblical Christianity when I know he is against biblical values, and so I just wanted some clarification, and I greatly appreciate that because he is pro-abortion and pro-homosexuality, which the Bible says is wrong, so that's how I knew he was not a true biblical Christian. So
yeah, and those things are fair. I mean, it is unfair to characterize someone against what they say if there's no evidence in that direction. For example, he has clearly communicated that he is a Christian. Now, Christian is a word that is not univocal, it is equivocal, which is to say, You have to take that word and understand that different meanings are poured into that word. Under the rubric of Christian, you can have quote-unquote black literation theology, which does not hold to essential Christian doctrine at its very core, even though it goes under the rubric of being Christian. You can also bring in all kinds of liberalism where you end up denying the supernatural and instead bank on philosophical naturalism. There are a lot of Christians that do that. But again, they're Christians, but not in a biblical sense, as you've clearly defined. And I think that's fair to discuss those issues because now you're discussing what he is clearly communicating. When he communicates that his values trump God's values, you can say, well, he has a relativistic worldview. At one time, he said he was against same-sex marriage. Now he says he's gone through an evolution. So truth is in a state of flux for Barack Obama. Not only so, on the abortion issue, he says that he is, as you say, in support of abortion rights or the right to abort, but he says he could be wrong on that. So what makes him right or wrong seems to me, at least, that's just an evaluation of me, seems to me based on the size and scope of the latest lobby group, not on some objective point of reference, which is, in biblical Christianity, the Word of God.
Yes, well, thank you very much. I do appreciate your insight.
Well, Cammy, thank you for your graciousness in hearing me out. It's a lot of times you talk to people and they don't want to be confused with the facts, and obviously you're not that kind of a person, and that's very heartening. Bless you.
Bless you.
Okay, Cammy. Good talking to you. Want to go back to the phone lines now, and we'll talk next to David. He's listening in Dana Point, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Oh, hi, Hank. Your screener said you may have answered this question, so please forgive me if you have. I just haven't been able to listen to you lately. I was really disillusioned when I saw the Billy Graham Society, or I guess his son, had taken down the reference to Mormonism being a cult. All my life, I've been taught as a Christian that Mormonism is a cult because of what they believe regarding the person and work of Jesus Christ. And now, all of a sudden, I mean, it's like because he's of a certain political persuasion that it's not a cult anymore. I'm just really confused and just wondering what you think about that.
Well, first of all, I can affirm that that is true. It's something that's happened. They had on their website the statement that a cult is any group which teaches doctrines or beliefs that deviate from the biblical message of the Christian faith. And then they went on to say that it is very important that we recognize cults and avoid any involvement with them. Now, I disagreed very strongly with that statement on their website. I certainly agree that Mormonism is a cult from a theological perspective because they contradict, confuse, and outright compromise essential Christian doctrine. But what I don't agree with is that it is very important that we avoid any involvement with them. In fact, I think we should engage them. We should be involved with them. We should use our testimony with gentleness and with respect as a means of reaching people who are trapped in cults. By the way, in this same statement, they went on to say that Mormons were classified as cults. They did remove that and gave a reason for that. Their reason was we do not wish to participate in a theological debate about something that has become politicized during this campaign. So it may have been something that they just did for a period of time. I really haven't talked to them. I don't know. But what you're saying is correct. They did have that on their website. They have removed it. And whether they put it back on now or not, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that if I would have agreed with Mitt Romney's philosophy, I mean, the fact that he was a LDS wouldn't have stopped me because he's probably a good person. But I just was theologically, they were coming from the perspective of this is all of a sudden we've changed our minds because we don't want to endorse, you know, this political party, so we're going to endorse this political party, and they just remove the theological truth that's been there for, you know, no matter how many years, and I just found that very disheartening, very discouraging.
Well, I hear you, and the reality is exactly what you said. Mitt Romney, I think, is a very moral person. I think he's a very good person in many ways. He may have made a very good president. But the reality is he has embraced a Jesus Christ who is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, a theology which runs counter to the Bible, and his authority is the Book of Mormon, which he believes to be the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to his religion, where in fact the Bible is the authority. It is the North Star by which a person can rightly set their sail. And I have to leave it at that. We're going to come right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can support this ministry, it would be deeply appreciated and much needed. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
Should Christians accept invitations to same-sex weddings? Would saying yes signal an endorsement? Would saying no signal a lack of commitment to the loved one? There are no easy answers. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, we have enlisted proponents of both opinions to facilitate the process of thinking it through. Start your subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture, so take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
You know the Bible is God's infallible, inspired Word to us. But when someone puts you on the spot, it can be hard to explain the proofs that support your trust. That's why we've condensed the crucial points from Hank's book, Has God Spoken?, into a new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The flip chart is our gift in appreciation of your support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. Get the proof at your fingertips. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I was, as you were speaking, thinking about how excited I am about this particular tool. I worked long and hard on this, not only to make it memorable, but to present it to you in such a way that you can internalize it and therefore use it as a demonstration that the Bible is the only reliable authority for faith and practice. And of course, through media and manuscripts and movies and now through the internet, a procession of political pundits and professors and public personalities are raising doubts in the minds of multiplied millions that God has spoken, that the Bible is a reliable repository of what He has said. And if they're right, well, Christianity has no more authority for faith and practice than does Islam or Mormonism or a host of other misguided movements. Of course, as you probably remember, if you've listened to the broadcast for a while, I finished my book, Has God Spoken?, about a year ago, and I wrote that book to refute the claims of those who say that to believe in the Bible makes us fools. And in that book, I used the memorable acronym MAPS to lay out the historical, evidential, and logical arguments that prove that the Bible's divine rather than merely human in origin. But now we have this digested, easy-to-follow flip chart. It's 4x6. It's laminated. You can put it in a pocket or a purse. It's an incredible resource, and I produced it just for you, our listening audience, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And again, when I talk about your gift, it is such a necessary factor in continuing this voice, the voice of the Christian Research Institute. We do primary research, so what we present to you is not slop apologetics. We try to make it popular apologetics, but something that you can rely on, depend on as truth. We do what we do because truth matters. Again, you can make your tax-deductible gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Javier in Fontana, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Javier.
Good afternoon, Hank. God bless you, bro.
Thank you. You too.
Hermano, I have a question regarding your book, The Apocalypse Code. I've read it. It's excellent. Thank you so much for that resource. And I'm trying to find a resource that will help me find the separation between what is near future and what has occurred in Revelation and what is yet to occur in Revelation. That's my first question. Second is I belong to a Spanish-speaking Calvary Chapel in Southern California, and attended a men's study, and during the open question, I asked if it was necessary to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church in order to be part of Calvary Chapel, and one of the leading Spanish pastors responded that yes, how can two walk together don't agree, and so I kind of feel I've reached a glass ceiling within the Calvary Chapel where, teaching or any type of counseling is closed to anyone who believes in post-tribulation rapture of the church. So those are my two questions and your response to the second one regarding the pre-tribulation rapture church, whether it's a dogma that Calvary Chapel.
Well, I mean, it is a position that they hold, but I have in my own interactions with the Calvary Chapel movement over the years, understood the pastors to major on the majors, which is to say, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. And therefore, I don't think that secondary issues, by and large, ought to create a separation or disqualify you from ministry, but that's not a call I can make. I'm just saying that's my my understanding and my reflection on the time that I've spent interacting with pastors that are in the Calvary Chapel movement. And of course, I very much appreciate the way that God has used that movement over time, from the very early days until the present. As far as knowing what is yet future, the book of Revelation is very much like the other books of the Bible in this sense. All of the books of the Bible talk about what is happening in a particular epoch of time. So if you read the book of Romans, it is written to Roman Christians in the first century epicenter of a Caesar cult. The same thing is true with respect to the book of Revelation. It's dealing with things that these churches are going to be impacted by either in the present or the very near future. And thus, in the prologue to the book, we are told that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. And then we are told a few verses later that we are to hear, take heart, what is written in the book of Revelation, because the time is near. So John is writing to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, saying that what is going to happen is near, and that will soon take place. Well, near means near. Soon makes it means soon, unless you're like Bill Clinton. It all depends on what the meaning of the word is. You know, if you want to equivocate on words, I don't think we want to do that. Now, but just like in the book of Romans or Corinthians or Revelation, there's also indications of what is going to happen in the eternal state. And so what is yet future? Well, Jesus is going to appear a second time. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. That's the hope of the believer. The problem of sin and Satan is going to be fully and finally resolved. The Bible likewise makes that point clear in its entirety. The dead will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will forever inherit a restored universe, Romans chapter 8. The universe now groans and travails, but it's going to be liberated from its bondage to decay. All of these things are what we yet look forward to as believers, and Revelation makes that abundantly clear. So John in Revelation chapter 21 looks forward to a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And he sees that new heaven and new earth coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And he sees a time where God will forever live with men. They will be his people, and he will be their God. So this is what is in the future yet for believers. And we don't know how long that will be. It may be thousands of years. It may be hundreds of years. Maybe 10 minutes from now. And that's why I've always told people that you have to prepare as though Christ's coming is a long way off, but be prepared as though he can come in the next millisecond.
Amen. So then, are there portions of Revelation that do point to the future of things that are I understand that, yeah, God is going to dwell among us. Amen. That's going to be great. And we're all going to be at the eternal state with him forever. Now, regarding some of the passages of Revelation, do some apply to the future? You can read and say, well, this is yet to come. This will happen.
Absolutely, and, yeah. I mean, the final future is discussed in breathtaking detail in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, because a lot of questions I get from some of my brothers in the church are, okay, what about, you know, God has not appointed us to wrath, and those who are dressed in white. And my understanding is that those who are dressed in white are those who suffered during the tribulation period and were martyred.
Well,
that's the teaching I've gotten.
Yeah, but again, this is dealing. Look, here you have seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They're going to face the full fury of a beast as well as a woman that rides the beast. And so John is telling them, be faithful, be fruitful. You're going to suffer for a short time. Your vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. And he sees a multitude, and he hears the roar of rushing waters, and he hears, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, were given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. There's nothing in that that is telling us that there's going to be a seven-year tribulation, and that in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, this is going to happen. At the end, you're going to have this happening, including the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing like that whatsoever. That's something you have to impose on the text. The plain reading of Scripture tells us this. Do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So rather than having separate resurrections and some people being raised at one time and others being raised at another time, I think we should heed the clear, plain words of Jesus Christ and follow the analogy of faith, which is that the cloudy should always be interpreted in light of the clear. I have people, quite frankly, and I know this is hard to believe, particularly when it comes to pastors, commenting on the book of Revelation that haven't even taken the time to memorize the book of Revelation, even though it's only 404 verses. And many pastors, furthermore, have little clue that 278 of those verses have direct references to Old Testament passages. And so when you see them interpret those passages, you find them interpreting those passages with a newspaper in their hands, as opposed to recognizing that Revelation is not only an apocalypse in the sense of an unfolding, but it's an apocalypse in the sense of a linguistic matrix that has its roots in the Old Testament Scripture. So the key to understanding the 404 verses and the 278 in particular is knowing the Old Testament. That's the code breaker.
Yes, I mean, your book is so informative. I'm a third time I'm reading it through again, and the legacy acronym is so helpful, and I just recommend that all your listeners who are listening to get the Apocalypse Code and read through it once or twice. It's very informative and makes things very clear. However, I'm trying to just get in, equip myself to answer these questions that I get. And it's you've been very helpful in that area, and I really appreciate the work you do. I know it takes a lot of work for you to equip yourself, to equip us. So thank you, my brother. I appreciate it, and move forward. We'll move forward here.
Thank you, Javier. I appreciate those kind words, and I hope that you continue to use your gifts for his glory and the extension of his kingdom, and hopefully you'll be able to do that within the context of the Calvary Chapel movement, which, again, God has used in a very powerful way. Certainly has impacted my life over the years, and I have to say that many of the Calvary Chapel pastors that I've grown to know and love personally are definitely being used in a powerful way all around the world, and so I certainly stand with them in essential Christian doctrine. But again, this underscores something that I'm really excited about, and that is learning to read the Bible for all its worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. And as part of the flip chart that we make available for your gift this month, there's a section on that. And it not only deals with the book of Revelation, but the Bible in its entirety. And if you master this, and I've made it memorable, it can help you smell the fragrance of the Bible in a brand new way. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without.
Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this.
Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture, so take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. From Genesis to Revelation, the entire New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, including Richard Dreyfuss, John Voight, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Michael York, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
With feature film quality sound design and original score composed and conducted by Stefano Minetti, the Word of Promise audio Bible transports the listener back in time. When Moses led the children of Israel, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when Jesus walked here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. Are you celebrating a myth this Christmas? Bart Ehrman and the Anti-Theist want you to think so. They claim the Bible is an unreliable, purely human fantasy. Get the facts and learn to defend the truth with Hank's new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The flip chart is our way of saying thank you for your gift of support to the Bible Answer Man broadcast during this important season for ministry. Please partner with us. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Carlos, listening in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, Hank. I really do appreciate your program. I've learned so much. I just have a question. I hear a lot about President Obama's and Jeremiah Wright Black Liberation theology, but I had a question on what is the denominational belief of the United Church of Christ? Because my understanding is it's Trinity United Church of Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, what is their stance on homosexuality, interpretation of Scripture?
Well, they don't believe that the Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. And their whole theology is a horizontal, it's a materialistic, it's a vision for humanity based on this horizontal materialistic view of reality. And the emphasis is not on liberation from the wrath of God through faith in Jesus Christ, but on liberation from government oppression and class struggle. So sin and redemption are defined in terms of socioeconomic class struggle. Sin is not primarily an impurity, but social, political, or economic oppression of the poor. So that's the basic idea, and the basic idea was rooted in the theology of James Cone, where, again, sin is not primarily a religious impurity, but rather social, political, and economic oppression of the poor. And black and white, by the way, because it's called black liberation theology, has to be contextualized as well, because it's not so much a reference to skin pigmentation. It's a reference to the relationship between the oppressed and the oppressor, with the blacks being oppressed regardless of what their skin color is, and the whites being the oppressor. In that sense, Jesus was a black man struggling for liberation in his world, and sin is anything that opposes the liberation of the oppressed. And of course, salvation then is the rising up of the oppressed against the oppressor by any means necessary. Of course, in Cone's view, that was the implementation of Marxist theology.
Right, but you would also agree that black liberation theology grew out of the oppression of Jim Crow and racial segregation.
Oh, absolutely. That's
movement.
Absolutely correct. Yes, I think that's right.
It's a reactionary movement, not a theological per se, but it's a reactionary movement to how the gospel was interpreted at the time.
Yep, and I think that's right. I think that's fair.
As a corrective to bad white theology.
Yep, I think that's right.
Right. And I think that, you know, because this whole Obama thing, and I'm a black pastor in Columbia, and I have just been mystified, and the thing that has hurt me the most, I think, is that, you know, I had a person in our church who won't come to church because it's like he thinks the president, there's so much about the president, you know, and what he believes, and I'm like, you know, I'm a political scientist by training, and I know that, you know, and then, to work in the church and know that none of us got it all together. But when we start picking, okay, this is a good fight, but this is a bad fight, you know, because I don't care who the president is, Republican or Democrat, they all got issues. They all have issues. And why is it that when I listen to the white church sometimes, it is always, you know, the liberal church, the left, as though these Republicans don't do anything wrong. And that just mystifies me. I don't understand it. I mean, if you're going to pick out this person is wrong, why not play it down the line? And when this guy's wrong, call him out on it.
Well, I hope if you've been listening to the broadcast, you've heard me do that.
Yeah. But see, here's what I heard. I mean, here's the thing that got me when I listened to the program. I've heard you say that Mormons believe that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer.
Yep.
And then the guy you had on said that Jesus would pick the lesser of two evil, and from my implication, he would say he would vote for Romney. And here's a guy, you know, he's saying Lucifer is the spirit brother, I mean, Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer, but because Obama believes in gay marriages and abortion, he would pick somebody who believes that that Jesus is his spirit brother?
Well, and point well taken, but here's how I'd contextualize that. I think what's important to recognize is that we were not voting for someone to teach our Sunday school class. What we are voting for is someone who can adequately and appropriately lead the nation. And I think in that sense, what we have to do is take into consideration all the converging factors to the best of our ability and then make a prayerful decision and vote our conscience. And I think that's the ultimate issue. But I do not disagree with what you have communicated. And I appreciate the fact that you brought into the discussion some historical contextualization. I think that's important. You got to remember that when I'm on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it's very difficult for me in a soundbite in 2 or 3 minutes to give a complete overview on a subject like Black liberation theology. So I give a general idea of what it is, and in further discussion, I can make clarifications and additions. But what I want to do is give people a sense of what it entails, and that's what I try to communicate.
Right. But, you know, I appreciate, because one of the things I listened to you, and I've heard some guests come on, and they've had different, but you're there saying, okay, you know, let's work through this, and we can disagree on it. But I really do appreciate that, and I enjoy listening to the show.
Well, Carlos, I appreciate your very enlightened and reasonable and well-reasoned contribution in the prologue to your question and the additional comments you made as well.
All right. Well, have a good one, Hank.
You too, man. Appreciate your call. Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick in Meridian, Connecticut, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Hank. How you doing? Just want to say that I really appreciate you, brother. I appreciate your ministry and your extensive knowledge of Scripture, and I pray for you from time to time. I should pray for you more often, I was curious, are fallen angels and demons the same exact thing? And if not, what is the difference, and where do demons come from? What are they?
Yeah. No, they are the same thing. Demons are fallen angels. I mean, there are people that will tell you otherwise, but that, from a biblical worldview perspective, is precisely the case. God created angels. They're non-corporeal or non-physical, but they're nonetheless real. We know from Scripture, both in terms of what we can deduce directly and through theological implication or deduction, that demons are fallen angels, and the relative number, though not given, is a third that went with Lucifer in a rebellion against God. And so they are angels, but angels that are fallen, given over to their own desires, which is they do not want to worship God, and so God gives them what they want.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much, brother, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate those wonderful words. By the way, I'm going to be at a wonderful congregation, primarily Haitian congregation, at Tabernacle Baptist congregation in Roslindale, Massachusetts, next weekend, November 16th and 17th. I think that's next weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. Again, that's Tabernacle Baptist Congregation, one of my favorite churches in the country, quite frankly. If you're anywhere around there, I'd love to see you. Some of those wonderful people you'll ever meet, and have a lot of interesting things to say, and a lot of communication that'll take place. I spoke there last year, and it was one of the great blessings of my life. Look forward to being there again this year. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go right back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Sarah in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Hank. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I hope that you're well. I know we're getting towards the end of the broadcast. I just want to thank you. I have been familiar with your books and your teachings for many years. I was very privileged to be able to go to a Bible college and listen to you very regularly, and I pray for your ministry. When we can, we will support financially. But we're in Omaha here, and my question is regarding the book of Revelation and the sign of the beast. And I know that it says on their heads was the mark 666. I've tried to look up the reference here, but I haven't found it yet. And I know you've spoken about, did I lose you, sir?
No, I'm listening to you.
Okay. That's okay. I just have a bad phone. Anyway, I've heard you. I believe what my question would be: is it a literal mark? Is it with the not being able to buy or sell without the mark? Without being too sensationalist, I know that there are now RFIDs, radio frequency IDs on credit cards that now you can swipe. I even heard on the radio, I don't know how true it is, but that they're going to have things on the palm for children when they do their lunch money creation, you know, little scanners. And so I'm just curious, this technology is in place for buying and selling, or at least for your credit card. could that any way be the mark of the beast?
Well, the answer is no, and let me tell you why. That's what I call newspaper eschatology, and there's no biblical basis for believing that the mark of the beast is a silicon microchip. And here's why. Biblically, the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. And that's because the beast can parody the Lamb, but can't do what the Lamb does or did. So just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 that you see in Revelation chapter 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, in the same way, the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. So when Jesus says, "On him who overcomes, I will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and I will also write on him my new name," we don't think that Jesus is actually using a magic marker or some kind of a tattoo machine to write symbols on our forehead.
Okay, sure.
So one is a parody of the other. But furthermore, I think what this answer is rooted in is Scripture. The forehead and the hands are Old Testament symbols of a person's beliefs and behavior. You see that in passages like Exodus 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Ezekiel chapter 9. In other words, what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. So there's no tattoo that's necessary. Your words, your belief system give you away in terms of who you belong to. Written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition and my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. I'm not going to do an extra hour today once we go off the air, although there are thousands of you calling in. Hopefully we'll be able to do a couple of hours tomorrow and get to all the calls then. Please do remember that we need your support. If you can support this ministry prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated and is much needed at this particular juncture in history, day after the election. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized, with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today.
The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership.